Welcome. My name is Chris Gilbertson, and this is the Secrets of the Extraordinarily Successful podcast, where I interview top experts and multimillionaires in the areas of business, marketing, and mindset to help you explode your business and create a lifestyle of your dreams. So tune in weekly as I share key insights from these interviews to help you master your mindset, learn simple strategies that easily grow your business, and teach you the roadblocks to avoid on your journey. And to learn how to drive more traffic to your website, double your email opt-in rate, and easily increase sales in your business and create passive income, make sure to subscribe at www.chrisgilbertson, that's Chris with a K, for free multimedia marketing updates to help you in your business. Now for today's episode. So I am so excited for our next guest today. She is an absolute firecracker and megapreneur, and you're going to learn so much from her. And her name is Fran Harris, and she's literally the go-to expert on how to make it on TV. She's a TV personality and author, founder and publisher of Collegepreneur magazine, the world's first national personal, professional, and business publication for college students. She also was a WNBA and an NCAA champion, and her quick wit has landed her on tons of top programs, the Today Show, CNBC, CNN, Fox Business, TLC, Comedy Central, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Oprah's Radio Network, and that's just the beginning. And she's also beat out over 15,000 candidates to be named the Good Morning America's advice guru runner up. So we have a lot to learn from Fran. So welcome, Fran. How are you doing today? I'm excellent. Thanks so much for taking your time out of your schedule to join us. And I'm excited to dive right in and start picking your brain, because you have just created a phenomenal empire with TV. And I'd love for you to share how you got started in the media world.
I got started in television after I played basketball at the University of Texas at Austin. My team was one of the best teams in the country when I was coming out of college. And so we had a lot of media coverage. So we had, you know, 3, 4, 5 sportscasters at our practices almost every day. So I was getting a lot of exposure from the other side of the camera. I was getting interviewed a lot. And I remember just how much fun I had talking to these guys, these sportscaster guys, just letting my personality come through, you know, learning all about what the media and what television was like. And I really knew when I was in college as an athlete, I was like, this is what I want to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know in what capacity I'll do it, but they just seemed to have so much fun, and there was so much room for your personality to come through. And for me, that was really the deciding factor. It was just how much fun I had when I was being interviewed by the sportscasters.
Oh, that's outstanding. I love it. So what was the next step? How did that actually transition? How did that happen?
When my career was over as an amateur athlete, I asked one of the sportscaster guys, you know, rule number one, network with the people that you come in contact with a lot. I said, I'd like to do this. You know, can you help me? He said, well, first step is to intern. There won't be any money. So come in, watch me do what I do 2 or 3 times a week, and we'll see from there. So literally, that's what I did. I was in undergrad school, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go 2 times a week when my schedule will allow, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to just sit in there and watch him produce his shows, how he gets ready to go on the air, what his producers are saying to him. I literally got to be in the laboratory with one of the best sportscasters in my city, in Austin, Texas. So I did that, and then he says, well, I'm going to put you on the air. Now, I want you to understand that never happened. I mean, this is the late 80s. That never happened. You don't put an intern's work on the air. Right. You know, it's like 30 Rock or whatever. You don't do that. But this guy was so cool. He liked me so much. He says, okay, this is how you put together a package. Now, back in the 80s, you're looking at these monster machines to put together television, to produce television. It was unbelievable. It was so intimidating. But he walked me through, okay, you push this, then he let me voice it over. What do you think about this? What do you think about these images? What do you think about putting that together? So my first package on the air in sports happened before I was 20 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, and now I have to tell you, he got a little heat intern on the air, but that's just the kind of guy he was. He was like, listen, this is as good as some of the stuff we do, and so we're just going to go over. He wanted me to get my credit. He wanted me to get my first credit on the air, and so he put that on the air, and it was actually really good, and that was how I got started.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. So what did you do next then after that started to take off? What was your next venture?
Kind of the next thing was taking a look around, and I really recommend this regardless of your industry. Take a look around at who's doing what you do. So at that time, I didn't see very many women doing sports casting. You know, it was male dominated, like most of the high paying and high octane industries. And so Hugh Lewis, which was the guy that was my mentor, kept saying, "Okay, you got to put your tape together. You got to get a representation of who you are on the air and that kind of stuff." So I finally graduated and wasn't going to get into coaching. So I said, "I want to get into TV." And so it so happened that they had a cable package, you know, little cable package on Time Warner. And they had a little package of games, maybe 7 or 8 games, and they said, "Well, you can be the color analyst on our game." So that allowed me to get together some work, right? A body of work. And honestly, ignorance is sometimes so bliss because I'm thinking my work is good enough to send to ESPN. So I'm like, "Hey, why not? I mean, this is the best work I have. It may not be great, but it's the best work I have." And I've never really been shy, and I've never really lacked confidence. So I just kind of put the tape together, honestly, sent it to ESPN and said, "This is who I am, what I want to do, and I'd like to do some work for you guys." And they responded with yes.
Brilliant. I love it. You
They
just
said, "Okay, we think you got something, so we're gonna give you a game." And that was in early night that was 1992, 1993.
I love it. I love just taking massive action and what can happen for you. It's brilliant. So once that happens, so I'd love for you to share then, for people that are just getting started out with wanting to break into this industry today, what would you suggest for them?
What is so amazing, so absolutely amazing about the time that we live in is that we have no barriers, we have no excuses. You know, you and I, if it weren't for the shortcomings of technology, would be looking at each other right now on our computers. But I say that to say there are no limits. I mean, you could have your own television show online because of the internet. So anybody doing whatever they're doing now, don't allow the fact that you haven't gotten on television yet not to put you on television online. So the first thing you need to do is honestly to start your show online. Start it now. Literally, whether it's using Google Hangouts or whether it's just using Skype or a million other solutions are out there, start the show right now. Do not allow the fact that you are bad at it. Chris, you've heard me say this. I was willing to be bad at it until I got good at it. And most people aren't willing to do that. They just think they got to be perfect. They got to look a certain way. They got to say the right thing. None of that could be farther from the truth. You just got to get it going.
Brilliant. And especially today with YouTube and the way people are wanting to connect with people now, they want you to show up original and be yourself anyway.
Exactly.
So I love that. So what goes into making a great show?
Well, it starts with the talent. You know, there are people who will argue it starts with the concept, it starts with the talent, but it starts with the talent, to be honest with you, because you can have a great concept for a show if the talent, meaning the person who's carrying the show, the person who's hosting the show, is off the mark or not a good fit for that show, it's a bad show. I mean, the execution of that show is going to be bad. So the first thing I want to say is never don't underestimate the importance of who you are, because you are the reason the show will be good, quite honestly, or you're the reason it will be really bad in many cases. So it's really marrying a good concept with a nice piece of talent. So the first thing is figuring out, okay, if it's just you kind of figuring out what the concept is going to be, at least you can get on YouTube and start talking. I mean, just start doing what you do, and maybe the concept will come to you later. Now, if you are, you know, like us, where we got a million, a zillion ideas, and it's just a matter of kind of nailing down the best concept for the right time, then you can do that as well. So it's really about coming up with the great concept and matching your talent with it. Then it's about figuring out the right delivery for you. Now, this is my real personality. This is not me attempting to be anything for Chris's show. This is just who I am. If you call me and I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, give me about 5 minutes, and this is who I will be. So you got to be the most natural, most organic person you are. If your personality is like Keith Olbermann, who is on MSNBC, who's dry, and this is the way Keith Olbermann, that's his thing. He makes it work. That's who he is. So it's never about trying to be someone else. It's about bringing out the absolute best pieces of your personality to make your show work.
Brilliant. I love it. And so for people that are just getting started, because I work with a lot of startup entrepreneurs too that are just getting into media and they don't know what their title of their show is yet. They're not quite sure of their concept. And, you know, I'm sure you come across this all the time. So what advice do you have for people? Is just having a weekly tip a good idea? Or do you want to have a name of your show with your name? Or what advice can you provide for that?
I like that. I like if you're just getting started and you don't want to be overwhelmed with the charge of producing an hour or 2 hour show. Remember, a 30-second tip is a show. I mean, that's what's great about living in the times that we live in now. A 30-second tip is a show. Yes, I do recommend starting out with nuggets, starting out with themed days. Even if your content is only going to be Transformational Thursday or Kick Your Ass Friday, whatever it's going to be, that's what you're, and it can be Kick Your Ass Friday with Fran Harris to start out with because you haven't figured out what the big show is going to be. Now, it may ultimately be Kick Your Ass Friday. You know, that may be it. But don't let the fact that you don't have this long piece of content ready stop you from creating the show. Just get it going.
Yeah, I love that advice. And that's literally how I got started. And now my concept has evolved and it grows over time. So I think that's brilliant. Now, can anybody, so I want to transition back over into the transferring now that you've got a show, you know you want to get on TV now. And you always talk about, I love this process. You say there's a 3-step process. You have to get noticed, you have to get the call, and then you have to get the nod from the network. So I'd love for you to explain that a little bit more.
Yes, the first part, and we know this is hard because it's getting more and more crowded. The great thing about having the internet is that it allows anybody to have their show. The bad thing about having an internet is that it allows anybody to have their show.
Exactly.
So there are millions of people out there, millions of personalities. I love that it's a crowded marketplace because it makes me up my game. And so that's the way you have to approach it. And so getting noticed is about kind of putting your stake in the ground and saying, hey, look at me, literally, I'm an interesting personality. Now, that doesn't mean setting your hair on fire, unless that's the kind of thing you want to do, but it's about creating some separation in the marketplace between you and the other folks who do what you do. And sometimes that's with your look, sometimes that's with your personality, sometimes that's with your methodology, sometimes that's with your, you know, where you live. I mean, you got to figure out what makes you so special. And honestly, it is so competitive. And I say that in the best way. It is so competitive. You know, when there are auditions for shows, think about this. You got to think about that producers are getting hundreds of thousands of clips and YouTube clips and books and that kind of thing. What is going to make you stand out? So getting noticed, honestly, is the hardest part. Okay, then the next one was what, Chris?
Love it. Getting the call.
Yeah. All right, then getting the call. Getting the call is about, you know, knowing how to get people's attention in various multimedia ways, multi-channel. So you got to know how to write a compelling email. You got to know how to give good phone. And you got to know how to give good video. Because those are kind of the three ways, the three touch points that you're going to have with a producer or a booker. They're either going to say, yes, send me something. And so you got to send an email that gets their attention, or if you don't send an email, then you got to be able to, if you're doing an audition video, you got to be able to catch their attention in the first 30 seconds of your video. So it's about really capturing the attention and the consciousness of the person who you want to book you, because there are so many people trying to do what you want to do. Now, again, usually energy is the best way to do that. But also quirkiness is really very good as well. So if your thing, as I mentioned, Keith Olbermann, if your thing is to be deadpan, like the guys on Duck Dynasty, which you should check out if you want to look at some different personalities. Duck Dynasty is a new show on A&E. That's phenomenal. These guys have a duck business, but they are just deadpan. They talk like this. And at the end of it, they do a little Talladega Nights prayer, baby Jesus, we just thank you for. I mean, it's hilarious. But that's what I mean. I mean, think about when that tape, when those folks as talent came across that producer's desk, they said, these folks are different. Okay, so got to get noticed, got to get the call. And what's the last one?
Getting the nod.
Getting the nod. Oh, man. So once you get through, seriously, I said, getting noticed is the hardest part. Catching their attention, getting their attention so that they will call you and go, okay, I like you. There's something here. Well, we don't know yet, because that's how it goes in the business. Like, we can't make any promises, but we think there's something there. Then it's getting the nod, meaning, okay, you got the show. And I'll just share my experience with her. When I got my show on HGTV, I got noticed because I had gone to an audition in LA when I lived there, and a producer who was casting me for a Fox show. They actually ended up casting Phil McGraw's son, Jay, I think, for that show. And I was in second in line to get that show, but that producer remembered me. So notice, I've already gotten the first part of it done. The notice part was done from a previous, you know, from a previous audition. Mm-hmm. I got the call because 3 or 4 years later, she's casting another show. And they said, well, we're looking for therapists or life coaches or whatever for this show on HGTV. And she says, I know exactly who you should call. So they called me for that. Then the hard part was selling myself to the production company and to the network, because that's where it's not easy at that point to get a show, because you got to, you know, the network is putting millions and millions of dollars into the production. They want to make sure they're getting the right talent. So I had to fly to New York like within 2 days after I got the call, and had to a live audition. And the executive sitting there, and they said, well, you do know that we've only auditioned therapists for this role. So, you know, and I just looked at them like, I don't really care. I mean, I don't care who you auditioned for this show. I'm just kind of telling you why I do what I do and how I do it. And they really liked my attitude about that. I was like, hey, I mean, I'm not going to apologize for the way, you know, I do things. This is how I do things. It seems to work with my clients. And that's what they were looking for. Somebody who's kind of matter of fact. All right. So then I auditioned with a lot of folks. You know, they pair you with people because they're looking for chemistry. Okay, that wasn't so good. Oh, that was pretty good, whatever. Then they have to send your tape to the network, right? So they've done all this tape. They've scoured everything that's good and bad about you, and they send it to the network, and they say, these are the three people that we think would be best to host the show. Now, in this case, which I thank God for this, it was amazing that they only sent my tape. They did not send anyone but me. Now, that's pretty amazing that you got these folks there. They go, okay, yeah, we know we're supposed to send you three or four folks that we think would be good, but we think this is the person to host this show. So then the network has to agree. I mean, at that point, the network has to say, okay, all right, you're so, you know, sure about this, whatever. But it turned out the network really loved me. So, and then you get it. And then, you know, then you got to prove yourself to your audience. But that's pretty much the process of it all. And it's pretty nerve-wracking, depending on whether you're talking about the notice part. Because you know what, Chris? Yeah. Depending on your personality and your skills, strength, and strengths, is going to decide which of those is the most difficult. Getting noticed, because you're not good at tooting your horn, or getting the call because, you know, you don't work through the process, or literally being able to market and sell yourself in that room when the time comes.
Right. What advice can you give for people to practice and get prepared for any one of those levels there?
You know, answer this question. This is a question that I ask on my show, and you already know this because you've been on the Fran Harris show. I said, what makes you one of the most interesting people in the world? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
That's why I ask you guys that question, by the way, Chris.
Yeah.
That's why I ask you that, because I'm like, okay, it will be easy for me to go, what makes what you do interesting? No, I want to know why are you on my show?
I love it. Yeah.
That's why I asked that question, because that's really what you have to do to practice to get on television. Remember, they're auditioning hundreds of folks like you. And the answer to that question almost always gets you to the next audition. You know, what makes you so different?
Perfect. And I love that, to help people stand out. It's a brilliant question. So now, are there any, so obviously there's so many people out there now with putting shows out there. You know, there's a whole new craze of cultural creatives and lifestyle entrepreneurs that have their own web-based shows.
Yes.
And that want to take it to the next level. So can any topic matter expert make it on TV?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what's so amazing. 1,000 networks, you know, 1,000 cable channels. There's absolutely, every day I come across, casting notices of, we're looking for people who are in the funeral business. We're looking for people. I mean, the Duck Dynasty people got a show.
I know.
The Duck Dynasty people got a show because the casting call went something like this. We're looking for people who have interesting businesses. That was it.
Wow.
So, you know, you got probably the restaurants. That genre is kind of, that's going to always be there because our fascination with food, we love food. But then when a casting call just says, if you have an interesting business, we want to hear from you, or of your family, or of your, you know. So if you're interesting, there's absolutely no reason that ultimately there won't be a place for you on television, because networks are popping up left and right.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it better to have a show based on your unique product offering, or can, like, our interview style shows, what's the best show format that you found for people to get booked?
To get started, it's usually going to be, because this is, you know, low entry to barrier, a barrier to entry is going to be, of course, doing an interview show on the internet. But not everybody's good at interviewing. So my thing is, if your thing is not to be in a chair interviewing people, then you should get some tape of you doing the best thing for you. So if that means hiring an intern every week to follow you around, because you are better when you're moving, you know, because you're better when you're doing what you do instead of sitting in a chair interviewing people, then that's what you need to do. So you want to be able, you want to put yourself in the best position to highlight your talent.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, so I want to shift gears for a second here. So when people get on TV for as experts, and, you know, they're on different TV shows, I've heard where top, you know, even authors have been featured on Oprah, but haven't sold any of their books. And I mean, you know this, you know, super well. So I'm curious, what about that type of style of getting on TV? How can you help experts with marketing their products the best way?
Yeah, a lot of times people will say, you know, okay, can you help me get on TV? And I say, yeah, I can help you get on television, and I can help you shine on television, but you've got to know how to spin that appearance on television so that you sell some books. Like, when people tell me I got on Oprah and I didn't sell any books, I say, you don't know what the hell you're doing from a marketing standpoint. Right. Because there's no way you get on the best, the biggest platform on the planet, and you can't spin that into books or sales, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's really about when you get a booking, here's the thing. When you get a booking, whether it's local, regional, or national, you have to put the sales funnel and the sales machine in place before you get on there, so that you've thought about how to spin it. For example, let's say your local news team wants to put you on at noon. Okay, they want you to talk about how to podcast. All right, we got Chris Gilbertson on. She's talking about podcasts. Well, the moment you get that call, ideally you've already put your machine in place. But the moment you get that call, you start putting up a Facebook page. You start putting up a special Twitter account. You start putting up a special YouTube channel. I mean, you do the things that are going to be magnetized by the appearance. The appearance in and of itself may not do very much for you, because a lot of times when you get on TV, they don't like for you to say, go to my website. They don't like that. Right. Sometimes they will say, if they like you, they will say, hey, Kristen, where can they find you? Then you do it. But I've heard a lot of experts get on TV and try to force their website in there, and it just doesn't work, and it turns the producer and the host off. So you want to put your sales machine and everything in place before you get on the show. You want to ask the local, even if it's local, let's just even start with local. If it's local, you want to ask them, of course, if it's going to be on their website with a link to your whatever page you want it to go to. Then you start building the search engine stuff around that. And then immediately you put on As Seen on whatever your station was on your website. You start using that immediately. So there's no reason you're not benefiting from that appearance if you've done even just the four or five things I just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. Now, you also use a strategy to teach people how to get on TV for their bookings, where you recommend that you want to be an expert, but you also want to be able to spin it into whatever the media trends are right now. So can you explain about that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. You as a, you know, we are newsmakers. That's kind of how I see people that I help get on television. You're a newsmaker. So you got to be paying attention to what's happening in the news around your topic. If your topic is teen bullying, then you need to be on the pulse of what's happening in teen bullying. So you've got to figure out what the three kind of major news sources are around them. Is it going to be CNN.com? Is it going to be the Huffington Post? Is it the Onion? What is it? Whatever. Mm-hmm. What is your news source that's going to tell you, hey, these things are happening around teen bullying? And when that stuff happens, you've got to be first to market, first on that producer's phone to say, hey, I heard about the thing in Bloomington, Indiana, and I'm an expert on teen bullying, and here's what I mean. You got to be Johnny on the spot when stuff happens in your area, and when it does, literally pick up the phone or email a producer locally. It's their information is all over the place. Hit them on their Twitter feed. That's what I did recently. I did recently on our ABC affiliate here. I couldn't find her email address. I found her Twitter thing. I inboxed her, and then she emailed me. So you got to be relentless about that. But it really is just about knowing what's happening in your area. And when it happens, boom, you call, you email, you do whatever you need to do to get that producer's attention to let them know that you're available to talk on the topic. Because here's the thing about being on television. It's such a quick and dynamic industry that producers are calling. You know, it's the path of least resistance. If they know a teen bully person, and they don't care if that person's been on there 30,000 times, that's who they know, that's who they're going to call. Mm-hmm. So when something happens in the marketplace, pick up the phone, get online, and make contact and let people know that you're available to be interviewed.
Excellent. Now, where are they? Because there is so much need for experts that you always talk about this. That's why TV is such a brilliant way to get out there. Where are the producers searching? Like, where are the best places to have yourself out and with your presence?
Well, the first thing is make sure you are active in social media. So that means at minimum have a Twitter feed, at minimum have a Facebook page, LinkedIn, you know, definitely, because a lot of producers are, even though the associate producers may be searching Facebook and Twitter and that kind of stuff, the higher end producers are on LinkedIn because it's perceived as a more professional networking environment. So you want to make sure you have those three things set up. And of course, most importantly, YouTube, because it's television. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, YouTube is not a website, it's television. So if you're trying to get on TV, producers want to see you on TV. They want to see your face and what you're like on camera. So they are scouring YouTube at minimum that way. And then of course you want to make sure you have at least a basic website so that they can see who you are, what your credentials are, and those kinds of things. And if you have testimonials of people who've been helped by what you do, or you've appeared on other media, it's really important to folks because they know that you're kind of camera ready, you're TV ready. Those are the things that you need to make sure are in place.
Excellent. Now, you teach a lot on what you call EMLP, which is expertise, marketability, likability, and proper positioning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've gone over the expertise, the marketing, you know, having a funnel in place and your likability. Can you talk more about the proper positioning, though?
Yes. You know, when I get together with experts, there's always some cross-pollination, right? Some mm-hmm. of us do a lot of the same things, right? I could teach a course on podcasting. You could teach a course on, so, you know, we do a lot of the same things, yep. But it becomes about figuring out what is added to your stew that makes you a little bit different than the next person. So positioning yourself is kind of creating the right mix of your credentials, your personality, the market that you serve. Sometimes it's just the market that you serve. So if you are a boomer specialist, maybe we both are life coaches, but you focus specifically on boomers who've just turned 51, you know?
Right.
So you got to kind of carve out that niche. I don't want to overuse that word, but that's really what it is the way you position yourself in the marketplace may sometimes be about what you look like, what you sound like, but mostly it's about who you serve and how you serve them. So you want to make sure that you are very clear on what that is. If you're a business coach who works only with stylists, if you've seen that show called, I can't think of her name, but it's on, I can't think of her name, but she basically makes over stylist businesses. Oh. And it's hilarious. It's funny. It's wonderful. And the show's like 4 years old, four seasons,
oh,
five
wow.
seasons. It's really good. But it's just a business makeover show in a specific genre. Just like the guy restaurant, he does the restaurant makeover show, same thing. Mm-hmm. Style makeovers, right?
Right.
So if you figure out what you do and you feel like you're not getting any traction in it because you're wading in a very big pool, maybe it's time for you to pick a market and then specialize in that market, or at least position yourself as the person who handles that. I have a business called Athletes Who Mean Business, right? Mm-hmm. Because I realized that I could do what I'm doing for entrepreneurs and businesses. I could break out into other markets. I'm an athlete, have credibility there, so I have Athletes Who Mean Business. So that's a good example of how you can position yourself in the marketplace.
Oh, I love it. Now, what you see so much talent, and I mean, with everything that you've done and what you create with your products and your services and with your publications, what do you see as the number one thing that people do wrong?
they don't stick with it. And I'm certainly, you know, guilty of that, because as a megapreneur, I can't go to sleep at night sometimes, just to be honest with you. There's so many things I want to do. There's so many things. Okay, then we'll do this. You know, I know you feel me. I know you know what I'm talking about. And so they don't stick with it.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. You don't have to focus on everything, but somebody needs to focus on it. And that's a great lesson that I learned. I said, okay, I have these millions of things that I want to do. Relax. You personally don't have to do all these things. Find somebody who that's what they want to do, and hire or outsource, so that their focus is specifically on Collegepreneur. Like, we're launching an authority site on Collegepreneur. Now, 5 years ago when I launched that magazine, I had time to do that. I don't have time to do that anymore. So now I've had to hire somebody. That's their focus. That's their focus. That's all they do. So now I don't feel bad about it, because I can't focus on it. I just had to hire somebody who could focus on it. And so the biggest thing that I see people do is that they give up before they get there. Instead of me going, oh, okay, I guess I can't do that. No, I go, no, I guess I'll just have to find somebody who can do that. And so with television, because there's this perception that only certain kinds of people get on TV, and it's just going to be too hard.
Right.
Most people give up and they're right there. I mean, you know, it's a matter of inches. You're right there. You don't always know how it's happening, but you give up. Can I tell you a really quick story? Very recent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're in my made for TV private Facebook area, so you'll hear this. Will be your first time hearing this, but this just happened literally like 12 hours ago. So, I wanted to announce our challenge yesterday, but I couldn't announce the made for TV challenge yesterday because I was waiting on something that I just put into motion. There's an event called NATPE, the National Association of Television Producing Executives. So they do these major events all throughout the year, and they have this thing coming up called PitchCon, where you go and you pitch yourself to networks as talent, as producers, try to get your shows made. So I used to go to this all the time. All of a sudden, I got busy being on television, and I stopped going to it. So I saw that came up again, and I said, I want to speak there. So this is 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So I emailed them, and I go, here's who I am, and I'd like to speak at your thing. Didn't hear from them. So I kept going. I go, okay, here's who I am and a little bit more, and I'd like to speak. Well, one person emailed me back yesterday and said, Fran, hey, thank you for reaching out. As you can probably imagine, we're kind of locked and loaded already for the May event, but send me your stuff anyway, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now I didn't stop there. I found another email.
Love it. Tenacity.
Yeah, just one more email. I found one more email in a different little area. I sent it to the assistant. Now, people always talk about that gatekeeper. I sent it to the assistant, and it was short. All I said was, Fran Harris, former HGTV host, current ESPN announcer. I have a program called Made for TV. Interested in speaking. Who do I need to talk to? That's all that email said. Last night at 9:30, I get an email because they're on the West Coast, and the guy goes, Fran, call me tomorrow. I would very much like to talk to you. Now, that's three different emails I sent to three different people, got three different responses. And my point is, people give up too quickly.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to this anyway. I was going whether they asked me to speak or not.
Right.
But I figured nobody's teaching what I'm teaching. This is perfect for what you guys are doing. I should speak. But I could have given up when nobody responded to me 2 weeks ago. When the guy sent me the email yesterday, I could have said, okay, well, that was it. I guess I'll just buy my ticket and go on out there. But I didn't. I emailed one more person. And I probably was going to keep emailing people. People give up too quickly, Chris. They when they don't get the response they want immediately, they give up too quickly.
Yeah. I see that all over the place too. It's so true. It's just taking the extra steps and trusting it's going to happen. And it doesn't always happen on our timeline, but like with what you just did, I mean, you're already well known and you're already speaking everywhere anyway, and just pushing through a little bit more. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. So now what I want to ask you is and I just lost my train of thought with my question. I got so fired up there with that. I'm excited to learn more about it, but, hold on a second here. Goodness, this never happens. So tell us about with people that are getting booked with on TV, and you talk about this. I want you to talk about your Made for TV program, because it's brilliant. I love it, and you've got a great simple process. So dive into that for us.
Made for TV, I created because people always ask me, now, how did you get on this? How did you get on this television show? And when I literally sat down and added up all the publicity that I'd gotten on television without an agent, without a publicist, guys, it was over $50 million. It's probably over $100 million. I just kind of stopped at a certain point because it was mind-boggling. And so I created this program called Made for TV to help other experts, personalities, coaches, thought leaders, whatever you are, to help you get on television because I've been through the ringer with television. Most of the things I audition for, I get, but a lot of, sometimes I don't get them. But what's most important is that I've studied the process of getting on TV. Now, I want you to know, and Chris, you may not even know this. I mean, I've been on television as a host, an expert, a commentator, a moderator, reality television. There's literally, I've been a TV whore pretty much, Chris. I have whored out for the television. I mean, I've done almost everything that you can do on television. And I hadn't really thought about it because I was just having fun. I was just like, hey, I'll just do this and I'll just do this. So I know the process of getting on television. And I've had the opportunity to work behind the scenes as a producer to know why they pick the people they pick. And even like why I didn't get picked for certain things. So I've created this program where people can come into at different levels. We're launching the academy this week called madefortvacademy.com, where people can actually come in and get in where they fit in. So you'll go to the site and you can say, I want to be a TV host. And you'll go through a different track. Or you say, I want to get on reality television. And you'll go through a different track. So it's really an institute, an academy, if you will, to help people get their brands on television.
Yeah, I love it. It's so great because it's showing and how you I love how you work with everybody. It doesn't matter where you're at, what level you're at, you can come in and take advantage of it and be able to get started and move forward with wherever you're at.
Some people don't want to be, we also broke it up like, I want local, right? Because you'll see the places I've been, you think, oh, okay, well, I'm never going to be on Good Morning America. That's not necessarily true, but we broke it down where it goes, okay, so maybe local television is your thing. Maybe you're in Aurora, Colorado, and that's your thing. So here's your track. Here's what you need to do to get on local. But see, what usually happens is when people get that bug, when they get on local, they're like, hey, I mean, I should be on Fox Business News. And that's what I want. I want people to be so educated about the process, so completely engrossed in what they provide and how they serve that they can talk about it right off the cuff. Which is one of the reasons I don't have a really long show because I'm prepping people for how quickly television goes.
Right.
You're going to get on TV, Chris, for 3 minutes.
Yep.
So it better be a powwow, great orgasmic 3 minutes. And that's how it's got to be. So made for TV. I'm really excited. Thank you for asking me about that because I'm really excited about it because I love when people text me and email me and say, hey, I just got on television. And I'm like, yes.
Yep. Well, it really is, and I mean, I'm guilty of it thinking, oh, I don't know about TV, like getting on there with experts, because my background, I'm all over the place, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs, like you and
Yeah.
I, we're serial entrepreneurs. We've got an
Yeah.
idea every minute,
Yep.
and so it doesn't have to be that you have to be that extreme of an expert. It's that you can have a spin, a unique personality to it, and be likable. Have that
Yep.
because you want people. That's what they're looking for to tune into their shows for it. So I think it's brilliant. So what trends do you see that's happening with TV right now?
A lot of the quirky personality, very different. Like you just gave me an idea for a show. Like you said, we're serial entrepreneurs, so we got stuff going all over. We don't
Yes.
sleep. We really do. It's hard for me to sleep. I'm thinking about taking some things to get me to sleep. I can't sleep. So I'm thinking about, like, literally, we could go on and talk about how to make serial entrepreneurship work for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a
Brilliant.
show all about serial entrepreneurs. Somebody saw me on a show and they put a comment on YouTube. They saw me on The Big Idea and they put a comment on YouTube that said, I think she just had a rail of coke.
That is
I mean, you
hilarious.
know, so the trends right now, quirky personalities, outrageous ideas. Service, people who are really helping people to change their lives
Yes.
is really, that's never going to go out of style. But you see that a lot in like, who do you think you are? You see it in the Kurt Warner's about to have a show about people fulfilling their dreams. So
Right.
that's in style and they'll always be in style.
Yeah, that's. And I'm glad you bring that point up because I know with Oprah, switching over to the OWN network and launching that, her real that was. And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I've understood is that was really what she wanted to launch like 20 years ago was on that personal development industry,
Yeah.
but now it's bigger. So are there specific sides to that for expertise?
Yeah, there people have different opinions about whether they think the network is working or not. I will tell you that when OWN first launched, it was a downer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched it. It was so dark.
Right.
I mean, it was hard. Yes, I want to be a better person, but I also need some light. I need some fun and escape and everything. When OWN launched initially, it was too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to lighten it up a little bit. And so they're getting better with their programming. So sometimes personal development folks like us think, okay, well, you got to be an idiot to get on television. You really don't.
Right.
You just got to have a nice little... It is television. So there's got to be some drama, inherent drama in what you're doing that keeps people tuned in and keeps people coming back every week.
Right.
So it's really about getting together with the best producer who knows how to architect what your show would be about.
Yeah. Do you ever coach people? Because, I mean, you're funny. You're witty. That's what gets you on TV. That's why
mm-hmm.
you get booked all the time. But for
mm-hmm.
people that don't have that, I mean, do you tell people to do... Because you've been on Comedy Central. I mean, like,
yeah.
impromptu stuff. Like, I love it. It's, I mean, you have been a whore. You've been everywhere. It's great, though. But, like, impromptu or what other... How can people get that edge? Like, what are some other strategies to help people with that?
Well, you mentioned Comedy Central. I actually got on a game show on Comedy Central, but I will tell you, when I moved to LA, and this is a recommendation, not to move to LA, but this is a recommendation for you guys. When I moved to LA in the mid-2000s, the first thing I did was I started doing stand-up comedy. Not because I had a desire to be a stand-up comedian, but because I needed to get out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to do something that was going to push me to be better at whatever I was doing. And nothing will take you out of your comfort zone like standing in front of a room and telling a joke and people just going, I mean, it was brutal. Now, there were nights, honestly, I killed it. But there were other nights, honestly, where people were just like, okay, yeah, well, next. Well, you need that experience.
Yeah.
You need the experience of stretching yourself beyond what you think you can do. So, like, there are people who are very funny. You know these people, Chris. They're really funny when you're at their house, but then when they get on television, they're not so funny.
Right.
They become this other person.
Yeah.
I mean, true story. One of my clients, I took her to be on a show with me, and hilarious, funny, engaging, got on this show and was just like so serious. And I was like, what in the hell happened to you? So a lot of times people become somebody else when they get on television. And I'm telling you, you only really got one shot for right now.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. So you got to get on there and be yourself. You can't pretend to be something you're not, but it's really about connecting with the audience. And in order to connect with the audience, you gotta be multifaceted. You gotta give them a little light, a little serious, a little, you know, be right for the situation, but don't be so uptight that people can't relate to you.
Right. Yeah. It's that likability. It's that relatability just being yourself and bringing that to the table. That's great. Now, is there because you're giving me some ideas there with different shows and things, but with, I mean, what does the American public really look for when through a producer's eyes? Let's look at it that way, if you can kind of explain that.
It's kind of disheartening right now because we see the trend of I don't want to say stupidity on television, but outrageousness. It's just like Snooki and those people on the Jersey Shore, and it people like us who are outrageous, but in a different way, don't want to have to be goofy to the point that it's not even us,
right,
just to get on television.
Yep.
So producers are looking for people who they, you will see this all over casting notices. We're looking for big personalities. Now that just means you are confident in who you are, right? If you're quirky, if you're, you know, the person from the Bronx or if you're a person from the South, you are authentically you. So producers are looking for people who are not trying to be on TV, people who are just being who they are and don't mind being that person with the camera on them.
Right.
Okay, that's the big thing, because what happens is people will get on TV and, as I just said, they will become somebody else. And you're like, this is not who I auditioned. I mean, that happened to me. The first month I got to LA, I auditioned for Hell's Kitchen. I know you're going to start laughing.
You crack me up. I love this.
For Hell's Kitchen. And here's the thing. I made it to the last round.
Get out.
I want you to hear this, people. I don't cook. I don't cook. If you come to my house right now, I have some tomatoes in my, some tomatoes and some almonds and some Ozarka water. That's what's in my refrigerator right now. So I don't cook. How the hell did I get to the finals of Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
But I got to the finals doing the things I've shared with you in this thing. The reason I didn't make it, honestly, is because when I got in that room with all the executives for Fox, I wasn't as big as I am right now. Mm. I don't know why. I mean, I want you to hear this. It happens to all of us. Like, I don't know why I got in there and my answers were very corporate. And they were like, this isn't who we saw on tape.
Right.
And so here I am, literally 1 inch, literally 2 weeks moving to LA, 1 inch from getting on, which is now the best cooking show, you know, the craziest right. cooking show on network television. And you got to hear, I wasn't a chef. I don't even cook. So
that just blows my mind, because that just eliminated 99% of, I think, people's fear of TV. I mean, it's brilliant, though. Wow.
So you just, they're looking for big personalities who are comfortable being who they are, authentically you. That's it. And if it feels like you're holding back, they're going to know it. It is true. The camera picks up who you are, right? Mm-hmm. That's why when you get real big, it's even bigger on camera. And when you're honestly, when you're really deadpan, it's even more deadpan. Yeah. So you got to be who you are. Producers are looking for people who are not afraid to be who they are.
Yeah, I've heard that on camera, how you show up, you have to be 50% more with your
yes.
personality.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really interesting to me. So if you're, even if you're doing YouTube videos, or if you're doing, and I just do this by my personality in general, but I didn't realize that. And I was like, oh my goodness, you can make, and I did two different videos and I completely noticed, even yep. though it's my still exuberant personality. So especially if you're a little bit not like Fran and I, really kick it up so that you show up out there. Which
exactly. And it's sometimes it's just volume.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's eyes. That's where it's like people say the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Right.
When I meet people and talk to them, when I'm coaching with clients, I look in their eyes and I go, what's going on? You can see. Mm-hmm. You can see how alive people are by their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what are some of your favorite shows?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm into the Duck Dynasty thing right now.
I've only saw a clip of that. I have to get in there and check that out more.
I like them because they have such different personalities. And I like family. I think what I really like about Duck Dynasty is that it's a family. And my family is very close. Yeah. And I have a big family. So when I see them, I just kind of smile because it's just family loving each other and that kind of stuff. So that's one of my favorite shows right now. I like some of the rest of some of the cooking shows. Ironically, because I'm getting ideas that I'm not going to use.
Right. You're so funny. Hear that out.
yeah. So I just like watching to see things that I'm not going to do. I love food, so I tend to like the Food Network a lot.
Yep.
and then I like sports because I'm doing sports right now, so I'm watching what's happening with on ESPN, following some of those stories. But honestly, I don't say this because, I don't watch television. I love television. I just don't have time to watch it as much as I want to.
Yep.
And usually I catch up on television at midnight after I've gotten out of the shower and I'm trying to calm my mind. And so whatever's on at that time or whatever I've DVR'd at that time, I will watch. I'm watching Susie Orman now because I'm coaching, as you know, folks to have shows like her.
Right.
So I'm kind of dissecting Susie Orman shows on my DVR to give people some good feedback for how they can do the same thing.
Are you talking more with finance or also with the call-in aspect of her show?
Yeah, both. When I look at her show, I'm really just talking about the format. Because if you think about the format, as I said on our training call, is it's just sitting at a desk talking about what you know.
Right.
And then letting people chime in on it. So, I mean, the internet gives you the ability to literally reproduce that show that she does. You sit at your computer, like we did yesterday on my show.
Yeah.
And we could have had a call-in feature. I could have had a chat feature. I mean, literally, that's the show.
Yeah.
But you've got to be good enough, honestly, on camera to carry that off, to pull that off. Either your topic's got to be amazing that people don't really care. Like, I'll give you an example of that. Let's say if you're talking about your show is all about better sexual performance. Mm-hmm. We know people will turn into that show.
Right.
They don't care how bad you are as a host. If your content is good, you know, great. If you're good as a host, even better. But that... that topic is so powerful that people will tune in for the content. If you're just doing a business show, then you got to get a combination of guests, if that's part of your formula, or your personality's got to carry that show.
Right.
So you got to know the right format for your personality and your talent.
Okay, brilliant. So before we wrap up here, I want to ask my question that I ask everybody that comes on my show. So if you had to start over today with none of the connections that you had, what would you do and how would you launch yourself?
Without even thinking about it, the first thing that came to my mind was I would launch a television network on YouTube without even thinking about it.
Brilliant. Simple. Yeah, simple and easy. And just get yourself in front of the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Fran, this has been a riot. You are just, like I said, firecrackers, a blast to connect with, a ton of content. So again, share with people where they can find out about you.
Yeah, I'm going to give you two places because the central hub is franharris.com. The main branding site is franharris.com. You can get a lot of good stuff there. But also if you're an entrepreneur, expert, coach, speaker, author who's literally interested in getting on television, you should definitely check out madefortvacademy.com. Madefortvacademy, just like it sounds, .com.
Perfect. And I'm going to have all of Fran's details over at chrisgelbritson.com with more information about her, some vaccine stuff, and all the details of where you can get signed up for programs or learn more about how to get working with Fran, because trust me, she's amazing. A blast. So again, thank you, Fran, so
thank
much
you,
for coming out. Absolutely.
Have a good day.
You too. So thanks for tuning in. Fran is obviously a huge megapreneur and the expert to go to for how to get booked on TV. And I just wanted to share with you, she did something really special that we actually didn't talk about on this call. We put this together afterwards for this group and for all my listeners, is that she put a special offer together for the Made For You TV program. And I've just gone through this course and it is amazing. She's got a simple 4-step process to help anyone get out there booked on TV locally and nationally, and walks you through exactly what you need to do to get yourself set up for success, to take your knowledge, your business, and broadcast it on TV. So if you head over to chrisgelbritson.com/Fran, there you're going to find out obviously all about Fran, but then the product offer that she has for Made for TV, it's only $97. I mean, it's a full training course. She's got MP3s, worksheets, and everything, plus a private Facebook group to connect with you to help you get booked and really get yourself set up for success. That will be increasing in price, though. So if you're listening to this later, we don't know exactly what the price will be, but just to let you know, right now it's only $97. It's an awesome product. I'm in it. I'm in the private Facebook group as well. So I'd love to connect with you there to learn more about your businesses and really help you get out there in a big way. Just like Fran said, get a YouTube channel up there, get started, and start producing your own show, whether it's a podcast or it's a YouTube channel. It's going to make a huge difference for you. I'm living proof because that's how I launched my business. So excited to connect with you. Head over to chrisgelbritson.com/Fran and stay tuned for more incredible interviews coming your way.